Well, have a seat. I'm sorry. Let me kind of update you on what's going on in Rome and in our life. And for those of you, you know, it's good. I see a lot of old faces and I see a lot of new faces. And that's really great. And to kind of let you guys know that really don't know me, this was the church that I was birthed in spiritually. This is my father and my mother and the spirit that raised me. I spent 12 years of blood, sweat, and tears in this place, and I wouldn't trade a moment of it for anything. There's no amount of money that could buy that time. You come in and memories start flashing back, and you think of things that have happened. And I remember we were up here building this platform, and the whole platform fell. You remember that, Pastor? And other things, you know, that kind of take place. But I spent about 10 years in youth and children's ministry here. And that was a very special time in my life. And then about 2 years ago, I was ordained here. It'll be 2 years next month, as a matter of fact. I was ordained and sent down to Rome to pastor the church down there. And it has been an awesome experience. I just thought I knew what this man was going through for the past how many years. I tell you, I promise you, you may think you know everything that he's having to face and go through, but you don't. There are so many things that I had to face in the past 2 years that I never had realized or thought about that I would face that would scare you. When you're dealing with people's lives and the lives are hanging in the balance there and families are hanging in the balance, it scares you. It puts some fear in you. And so I've had to face some pretty tough things, but we overcame them. And so, the church is doing well. We have grown five members since the first of the year, three adults and two children. So it's been great. And plus, one of the guys that have come in is a musician who can play the guitar, which we desperately need help. Liz and Matt, man, you did a wonderful job. That was great. I could sing. I could really sing that good, but I'm kind of at that age. Your voice starts changing, you know. But the church is growing. We started a life group last Sunday night. We're going to have one this Wednesday night. So people are excited. The last Sunday night went real well, and so we've really grown really tight and really close. And then We've drawn people in. There are a lot of people out on the wings that I just see that within the next couple of weeks or months that are going to come in, and the church is even going to grow more. So I'm excited about that. We moved down to Rome last year in July, and then this past December we purchased a house down there, and we're renting our house out here. And so it's not a new house, it's an older house, but it's a bigger house than we had in Lafayette. Each one of us have our bedrooms. And so Luke and Zach are really proud of that. And they're downstairs, so we can't hear them. Except for Luke's room, the way the air conditioning vents work. He already knows. I mess with him sometimes. Luke. He thinks God's talking to him. but it's really good. We have, as a pastor, you lose a lot of your own personal time. We have people at our house. I drive in from Bluebird, and there'll be somebody at my house 3 to 4 days out of the week. And so, I mean, and I love it. I want that. We're able to minister to some folks. There are some tough issues that we had to deal with. Had to deal with some cults, some folks that are involved in cults in Rome. And so we're still ministering to them and many other things. But it is great. It'll challenge you, it'll stretch you, and it'll scare you. But everything is going great, and we're really happy. And it's going well. Do you have anything you want to add? You don't? Well, I've got something, Pastor, I want to give you right before we get started. And you guys know that Pastor is a great fisherman. And so we've kind of got him a fishing award here, if I can get this thing out. It's not as big as the ones you have in your office, but it's a fish mounted on a plaque. And it's kind of just real funny. And so I want to give you this. And I just want to show you. Hold on. Can you hear, where's the microphone at? Oh, okay. Whoop. Right there.
Put me in the water.
But, yeah, there's.
Here's a little song I wrote. Might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
But, my wife saw that yesterday and couldn't resist getting it for me. Once again, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 2. No, I'm not going to do a teaching on eschatology. I promise you. I tell you, I've been doing children's ministry and youth ministry and camps and pastoring church for the past 2 years, but I promise you, the first 2 minutes, I'm always nervous. I hadn't got over that yet. But, so you may see me shake the first 2 minutes and then I'll be all right. But I want to talk to you this morning for a little bit about first love. First love. And it's kind of appropriate that a lot of the songs that we did this morning dealt with love. And I want to ask you a few questions and then get you to see something that maybe for your individual life, for the church's life, for something that you can take and use and minister to someone else. Something that I feel like is very vital in our lives. Do you remember how you felt in the beginning when you started dating that love of your life? How you just couldn't be away from each other when in the beginning of that relationship. That you just had to be with her all the time. And you just had to be close to her. Whenever you were separated, there was like this draw, you know, I've got to hurry up and get through. I remember like going through high school with Karen, and we'd have some classes together, some classes weren't together, but we would just couldn't wait until that class is over to get together, to walk and sit. And you just remember how close and how tight of a bond there was in that relationship. And then in the first part of your marriage, when you get married, you know, this is really, really close and really tight. There's a tenderness of the heart there. There's a tenderness in how you respond to each other. There's a lot of affection and a lot of love. And so I want to talk about that first love. Do you remember how you used to sit really close together when you're riding down the road? So like Terry and Angie now, so they might have it going on. And you were sitting so close that you wouldn't even be able to slide a piece of paper between the both of them. You know, it almost looked like one person. But there was just that closeness. And so I kind of want to compare it to a rubber band, a relationship to a rubber band. If you take a rubber band and you stretch this rubber band out, what does it want to do? It wants to go back. There's a pulling force within that rubber band to pull back to its shape. And that's the way that our relationships were in the beginning with each other and also with God. You know, one of the times that you had to go to work and you had to think about work and that beginning of that relationship with God, you know, you just couldn't wait to get someplace to pray or to read your Bible or be around the people of God. I remember my life so well. I wanted to be here all the time. And I was. Weren't we, Lance? We got our wish. Be careful what you wish for. But it was just that draw. And so we had this with God. It was so close and so tender. There was such a passion and a desire in our hearts. Just like that relationship that we have in the beginning with that person that we love. There was that passion and that desire to be with God every minute you possibly could. But after a while, you know, like most relationships, things come around, you know, you work, you raise children, and all sorts of other things happen in your life. And, you know, if you take the rubber band, you keep stretching it, eventually it loses some of its elasticity. I think I said that right. Elapsism. And so it's, even though it wants to go back to its original shape, that pulling force is not as strong as it once was. It's nowhere close to being having that force to pull back as it once had, because things just come in and they just stretch us out. And we don't even realize it. Because it's not something that happens in an instant. It's not something that happens overnight. It's something that kind of happens over a period of time. Now, I'm not saying anyone has fallen out of love here with God, but we've lost that passion, that desire. Just like in the beginning of that relationship with her, where that with tenderness of heart, you know, as we kind of grow and mature, we just kind of get a little harder, it seems like. But we lose something little by little, unknowingly, until we just don't have that resistance to snap back, to pull back, to be in that place that we once were. And so after a period of time, we've lost our first love. So if you're in Revelation chapter 2, we'll start with verse 1. John is writing to the church at Ephesus. To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden candle lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toils and your perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, and you put them to the test, those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And so I want to talk to you this morning about that first love, about leaving that first love. And I have a remedy in a little while to give to you. This is what God put on my heart at the beginning of this year. It's something that I felt that God told me that whatever I'm involved in, whatever I'm doing, to try to incorporate this in somehow. Because our world is so full of condemnation and judgment that we don't have enough love. And we surely sometimes have left that first love. Well, the first point I want to bring out is that He knows. So God has something good to say. He just wasn't getting on to the church of Ephesus about their bad. He also told them, hey, you're doing some great things here. You're doing some wonderful things. The first thing is, in verse 2 we saw that your deeds and your toils and your perseverance. And I kind of feel like this is a prophetic word for this church. God has seen and He knows all the things that you've done here. He's seen your labors. He's seen your works. He's seen how you've taken and you've applied yourself here. It's here where I cut my teeth and I applied myself. I was shown things. And so I took those things that I was shown and I tried to do the very best with them, just like you're trying to do. You're trying to bring your gifts and your callings out, and we should. And God's saying, hey, you're doing a great job, folks. Sometimes it's not fun, is it? Sometimes it's kind of laboresome doing things, isn't it? Especially when you have to go out and weed eat the back of the school back here when you run into all those things. But sometimes this is not grand and glorious. Sometimes it's laborsome. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes other situations arise and confront you and try to bring you down. But you've kept your hand to the plow and you've kept on. You've persevered through it. And God says, hey, I've seen it. I know it. And you've done well there. He's seen your perseverance in your homes. He's seen your perseverance in this church, where many folks would have thrown up their hand and say, hey, I just give up. It's just too much. It's just too overwhelming. I can't do it anymore. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's times in my Christian life that thought has passed through my mind. Now, I didn't dwell on it, but that thought came into my mind. And I had to deal with it. of just giving up. Have you ever been in that place where that thought comes into your mind? You say, hey, it's just too much. It's too hard. It's too laborsome. I'm just going to give up. But there was something within you. God had placed a hope, His promises, His prophecies over your life, and you held on to them for all you had during those periods. You said, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hang on to them. I don't understand what's happening. I can't see what's going on. I can't see where this is going, but I'm going to hang on to it. He knows what you've been through. He knows your hard works. He knows how you've labored and how you stuck it out and held on to His promises and to His hope that He's placed within your heart. He says, you've done well. You've done well. The second thing is that you put messengers to the test. This is because this man has done such a tremendous job opening up the Word of God and teaching it. Bit by bit, piece by piece. Breaking it down so it makes it so simple that you can just chew on it and understand it and go and run with it. And this is a church that's full of the Word of God. And you put messengers to test. I know I've sat around some of your living rooms and we'd turn on some TV evangelists or some TV preachers and things. And I know, I've listened to you. I know you've got the Word in you. You spot things that are not true. And God says, I know that you put these people to the test because you're so full of truth that you want to share that truth. And so something that's false just rises up real quick in you. He says, I know you put them to the test. The third thing is that he knows is that you hate false doctrines, false deeds. He knows that you detest those deeds and those doctrines, and he wants you to know that he hates them too. You remember when we read it in verse 6? I hate them. That's what Jesus said. Now we don't really recognize Jesus like that because we see him as this sweet little cuddly teddy bear sometimes. He had a bird on his shoulder. And he says, I hate them too. He didn't say he hated the people. He hated the doctrine. He hated the deeds. He had compassion for the people. It talked about Nicolaitans. They called themselves Christians. They claimed to believe in the Son of God. Nicholas was one of the seven disciples that was ordained and set into office in Jerusalem. But somewhere along the way, Nicholas began to teach some false doctrines. Some things about eating things offered to idols and sexual immoralities. And Jesus said he hated these doctrines. And he realizes that over the years that you have spotted out false doctrines. I've been having to deal with some false doctrines down in Rome. You have to try to weed those out of a person's life without hurting that person and doing damage to that person's life. But God says, I know that you hate false doctrines and I see that you love people. There's the doctrines and the deeds you hate, but you have compassion on the people. So there's three things there that God's telling you today. He's seen your tolls, your labors, and your perseverance. He's seen that you put false ministries to the test. He's seen that you hate false doctrines or deeds. And he says that you've done well in those areas. Done real well. The second thing is we move into Revelation, and let's look at verse 4 again of Revelation chapter 2. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. See, he's not telling them there that they don't love him. They've left that first love, that initial passion and desire that they had in the very beginning. They had left aside where they were at one time. The things they were doing were right. And he said, listen, these things are right. It's good to learn the Word of God. It's good to mature. It's good to let these gifts and these callings and these talents that God has placed within you come forth and let them grow stronger and be used. But somewhere along the line, we might focus on those things so hard to try to do them that we lose that little intimacy that we just had with God, that passion, that place to snap back and just be with Him and be in His presence. The Bible tells us that without love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that we're nothing. The Christians at the church of Ephesus somehow started out right. Somehow they had reached this place in their journey with Christ and their journey with the Lord and growing. They had left this first love. Now, they were taught by the apostles. John's writing this letter to them. Paul wrote letters to them. They had the original apostles there overseeing them, but yet they still left that first love. You think it might be possible that during all this happened in your life and the things that you have to confront, that maybe it's possible that you may have lost or left your first love? Because Jesus loves us, He will adjust us and bring correction in those places that we need Him. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." We adjust and we correct our children. Why? Because we love them. Because we want them to do well. Because we want them to be blessed and experience joy and happiness and peace and the blessings of God. Well, God wants the same thing for us. Father God wants the same thing for us. For us to do well, to experience everything that He has stored up for us. For everything that He wants to give us, He's there and He's saying, "Hey, you need a little adjustment. I know you love me, but there's something missing that you had once before, and I want you to bring it back." Number three, His love brings a remedy. His love brings a remedy. Let's look at Revelation chapter verse 5. "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first." Three things here. It says, remember, repent, and redo. This is the remedy to regain that first love in your life. Now, when you remember when you first became a Christian, when you first confessed Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you came into this relationship, you remember how wonderful it was? I felt so strong. I felt like there was nothing I could do. I felt like I could probably walk through that wall if I wanted to. I wanted to stay and have that. I also wanted everything else that God had. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I wanted to get His Word into me. I wanted to prophesy. I wanted to do all those things. But I also wanted to stay in that spot because it's such a wonderful place to be. The first thing Jesus tells us is to remember. Remember, Jesus tells us to remember from where we have fallen. You see, as we grow and as we mature, and just like our natural relationships, we grow and we mature. I love Karen, but I'm going to tell you, until just a couple of months ago, and I'm still working on it, I didn't have that initial passion that I had for her in the beginning, for that desire to be with her, to snap back and be close to her all the time. And so, you know, he's telling us here to go back and remember where you were at. Now think about it. When your relationship with God started, if you're in my case, I didn't know anything about God. And I had this overwhelming love and this overwhelming thankfulness and this wonderful place to be, but I didn't know how to tell anybody about it. Oh man, you need some of this. You know, I don't really know how to tell you about it, but you need some. You need to have what I have. But I couldn't go any much further than that because I didn't know anything. But just think that if we can regain that first love along with what all we've gained, all the knowledge and the understanding and the Word of God and your gifts and your callings that He's placed within you, what we could do now. My goodness. Revival would break out. Remember from where you have fallen indicates that somewhere we'd reached a high. Instead of progressing, you know, we're the last people that want to realize we're, you know, our own ourselves, that we need some correction or some movement or some adjusting. And so we don't realize that we think we're still progressing. I thought I was still progressing. I'm doing good. I'm a pastor now, you know. I preach every Sunday and I'll prophesy sometimes and I'll... But I had left that initial passion, that desire. And He says, go back and remember. We can preach the greatest messages ever preached, have the most beautiful voice to sing with, pray the greatest prayers, or speak great prophetic words. But without that love, especially that first love, man, it doesn't mean anything. Remember how it used to be. Number two. After we remember, the second thing that the Lord tells us to do is repent. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, repent, change the inner man to meet God's will. Repentance is not weeping and crying, but I do that occasionally. Nothing wrong with it. But biblical repentance is just changing that inner man to produce the right actions, that righteousness in your life, to do those things. And so he's saying, hey, listen, remember, and then now that you've remembered, go back and change that inner person to produce those right acts, those right deeds. Go back and change it. Do those things you did, which I'm getting into the next one here. I'm getting ahead of myself. The third thing he says is redo. Redo. Jesus didn't question the Ephesians church purity of doctrine. They had the doctrine going on. He was patting them on the back and telling them what a wonderful job they were doing with the doctrine, with that purity and with their endurance to service and not giving up and going through those tough times and still hanging on. Say, I'm hanging on. I don't care what. I don't understand why right now, but I'm going to hang in there and I'm going to keep doing it because I know it's the right thing to do. But what he did question was that passion, that eagerness that they had in the beginning. That desire, that devotion that characterizes first love. Now I want to get a little insight in on the Ephesian church here to give us an understanding of what was happening since this letter was written to them. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering in my prayer. Paul had heard of their faith. Paul had heard of their love for each other. Let me read it again. See, the key word is Paul didn't see it. Paul heard about it. Now, there's a wonderful thing here that can happen. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, well, this tells you then that Paul is off in some other place, some other country, and word about this church, about their faithfulness in God, and about their love for each other has spread abroad. It wasn't something that Paul seen. Just think about it. Think about it. If there's some people up in the north that says, hey, I've heard about that LifeGate church in Lafayette, man. These people love each other. Or someone to the south, or the east, or the north. They begin to talk about it. Think of that evangelist tool there that they have. People want to come to where they feel like they're getting love, not condemnation and judgment. And I'm not saying you do that. But when your love is so powerful for each other, it spreads out and people talk about it. And it makes people want to come. I want to come. I want to come with somebody who just loves me. I want to be there.
You remember in the beginning of how you just loved everybody. Didn't matter what was going on in life, what kind of person it was, you just loved them. You had this passion and compassion for them, and you just loved them right where they were at. You wanted them to experience what you were experiencing. It filled you up. You felt there was nothing that you couldn't do through it. You felt strong. You had that confidence. Didn't know really how to talk about it. That passion and that first love. These were the things that you and I did at first. It's so simple, but we make these things so hard. We've got to make things hard, you know, or else it just doesn't seem right. And so it's as simple as this. To be rooted in love with each other and with Him. To go back and to remember how it was in the beginning. To repent, to change. And number three, to redo those things that we did at the beginning along with what we've learned and what we've gained in our maturity in God now. The fourth thing, he says, if you don't, I'm going to remove your life. I'm going to remove your life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people
light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light into every house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are the light of the world. We're the light of the city. We're a light to each other in this house. Terry, I'm a light for you. You're a light for me. If my light's removed, then the light that you have around you is not as bright as it once was. I need you. You need me. We need each other's lights. And that's really basically our deeds, our works. God can bring abundant life because of the light that's in our life. And the blessings from God to help individuals and families have a relationship with God. We're also the lights to each other to help each other to grow in relationship with God and become stronger in Him. If He takes our lampstand, we not only lose our light, but we lose our ability to produce light. And Jesus is not some big mean God up there with a ball bat just looking to do us in and take away our life. He doesn't want to take that life. He just wanted you to regain that first love, to get that first love back into your light. If we lose our light, then we'll lose our ability to draw people to God. Because you know what? They're not going to hear about our love for each other. What we do is not going to stand out. It's not going to shine out. Matthew 18, and I'm going to close here with Lance, you have some music or someone. Matthew 18, verses 2 through 3. And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to have that childlike love along with everything that we've gained in the years past. With that maturity, with that understanding of the Word, and bringing forth our callings and our gifts and our talents and causing them to grow. He wants us to spend that time with Him, to have that love where there's no doubt of our faith that He loves us. There's no end to that love. Do you remember in the beginning that as you felt His love on your life, that it didn't seem like there was any width, height, depth? It just seemed like it was everywhere. Everywhere you went, it felt like it just went with you. My two daughters still have that first love for me. I don't want to do this. I gotta quit doing that. You see, I come home from work and they meet me at the door and they jump up in my arms and hug me and kiss me, and I've changed jobs this week. I start on a new job Monday, and so all this past week, Daddy, have you started that new job? And the reason they ask me that is because they know that I'm going to get to spend more time with them. See that rubber band stretched out? It's going to pull back together. They're wanting to pull close to me. Yeah. Come on, honey. I'll let you sit back down in a minute. You see, they still have this first love. They want to hug me and kiss me and tell me they love me and sit down beside of me and sit in my lap. I love it. Wouldn't trade anything for it. And they have that first love, that childlike love, that passion, that desire to be with their daddy. Now Luke loves me, but Luke doesn't come up and sit in my lap as much as he used to. He doesn't give me the hugs like he used to. He still gives me hugs and still gives me kisses and tells me he loves me and sits down with me, but not as much as he used to. Still talks with me. Zach, and so I'm giving you a picture here of how we just gradually, over a period of time, lose that desire to pull back in that passion and that desire. Zach, I know Zach loves me, but I remember he used to coming home and he'd run and jump up in my arms. I couldn't hold him now. He's a big boy. And we would sit down and he would ask me 1,000 questions before bedtime. And just talk to me and hug me and kiss me. and just call me, you know, just, I just heard daddy, daddy, daddy. And at the time, you know, you kind of, boy, I wish you'd just be quiet with that, but you know, I miss that. I miss those times that he would do that. That first love that he had. I make Zach hug me now. But I believe God, this is how we used to be with him. So I want to ask you a few questions, and we're going to do something a little different. I know that you could come down here and line up, but this is something personally you've got to do. This is something that you have to begin, something that you've got to say, listen, I see it, I want to do it, I see where I need this adjusting, I want to go back and I want to remember. See, it's still hard, I'm still working on it. I have to make myself do things and realize that I've still got to get back to that passion. Do you feel that he has removed his light in your life? Or that light is not quite burning as bright as it once did? Do you feel empty inside? Or maybe not as full as you used to be? Do you feel that you're doing all the right things, that you're laboring, that you're doing everything that God's put in your heart to do? But there just still seems like there's some little something just missing in your life.